Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. It's nice to have you here. Holly, haven't seen you for a while. How you doing? Good. Saw your picture in the paper, though. I got to get your autograph later. I've got a Bible verse I'd like you to memorize today. You probably already know it. Faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, written by Paul. Today we're going to talk about love. I've been asking for years, you know, faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the most important? I mean, why is, and I challenge you to think about that, but faith, hope, love abide, these three. We need faith, because without our faith, we wouldn't know who God is or who Jesus is or how much he loves us. Hope, if you've ever been in a place where there's no hope, you know how desolate and how alone and how much in a bad place you are. If you don't have any hope, faith, hope, love, well, we all need love. Love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We'll be talking about that. That's part of our lesson today. So, good way to start thinking about this. You'll notice in your bulletins that there is that John Koziel is going to be playing with his group up in Aiken the last Saturday of the month, the Beatles song. And he suggested that I come in here and start singing, "All You Need Is Love." And I thought, no, we won't do that. But on the last Sunday, he and Pat Balder will be leading the music here. So, you know how enjoyable to get those city folks up here playing. Oh, by the way, he said he's going to be retiring and moving up here 2 years. So we've got to keep him engaged and active if we want him to help us with our music program, okay? Let's see, what else do we need to announce? I think that's all we need to mention. Oh, today is Super Bowl Sunday. No, it's S-O-U-P-E-R, soup. We're remembering the food shelves. And rather than pass around our offering with the boxes, the blessing boxes, is in back. And all the extra we can do will go to our local food shelves, okay? So if you'd like to help them out, you know, forget about the Ravens and forget about the 49ers. It's about the people who are hurting in the neighborhood. So remember that at the end of the service, would you please? Now, let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us, for your Son who died for us, for your Spirit who lives in us. Thank you, Lord, for the love you have for your creation. Help us to make it a part of our daily journey to live a life of love. Bless this place now with your love. Fill us with that love as we gather around your holy table. Make our hearts softer and more sensitive and caring as we gather. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 790, Day by Day. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Day by day.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love,
and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
Rejected and alone. was trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above
all. Thank you, Darwin. As Pastor mentioned, today's lesson is from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. It's a very familiar, but I just have to say this when I read it. I thought, I hear this every time I go to a wedding. And when we read it, you're going to understand that it is always used at that time. Today, I want you to listen to it and really listen to Pastor's sermon. I know it's going to be something that's going to spread the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn from this and understand what this message is for us in our daily lives. Christians in Corinth pride themselves on their spiritual gifts. Paul reminds them that God gives us many gifts through the Holy Spirit, but the purpose behind all of them is love, the kind of love that God showed us in Jesus Christ. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. We will read responsibly Psalm 71, and when you see the bold R, please respond with the refrain, "From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame."
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday after Epiphany is found in the fourth chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 21st verse. People in Jesus' hometown are initially pleased when he says that God will free the oppressed. Their pleasure turns to rage when he reminds them that God's prophetic mission typically pushes beyond human boundaries so that mercy and healing are extended to those regarded as outsiders. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you'll say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 787.
Against a stone, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like.
like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Kind of touchy-feely songs today. Thanks, Darwin, for that wonderful song. You know, I mean, these songs fit in with the whole theme. Our lesson today is on love. Now, obviously, we're not talking about romantic love, though sometime we probably should talk about romantic love. It's such an important part of our lives. Heard something funny lately. I was digging through my archives. I have a good friend, Louis Souter, who's a Baptist preacher, and his kids went down to Bethel College, and this was 20 years ago now, but on this slip he gave me, this is an announcement they had in freshman week, Bethel College. On this campus there is to be absolutely no physical contact of any kind between male and female students. There's only one legitimate exception to this rule. If a male student happens to see a female student about to fall to the ground, it is permissible to touch her to break her fall. The announcement continues, however, we shall not tolerate any young woman making a practice of falling. My niece went to Bethel, so I asked her, is that true? Yeah. I says, do you ever have any dances? No, we don't have any dances. I said, is there any time you can dance at all down there in Bethel? They said only if the Holy Spirit breaks out. You can do a little dancing in the Spirit. But there are colleges that can be that strict. Our lesson today is about love. In fact, it's called the Love Chapter. In all the scriptures, this is the love chapter. Most of us, like Mary said, have probably heard it at weddings. It's the highest writing about love in all of literature, many people believe. It was composed by St. Paul, obviously under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I consider it one of the most extreme, radical chapters in all the Bible. And I believe that by the end of this service, you're going to understand that this basic message is very, very extreme. In fact, it's so extreme that you can be more Christian than Christ himself. But if you're not committed to living a life of love, you miss the whole message of the gospel. Think about that a moment. You can be more Christian than Christ himself. But if you're not committed to living a life of love, you miss the message. You're just not getting this. I have time today to deal with only a few of the beginning verses of this wonderful chapter. And I want to look at it in a little bit in depth, but these few verses are life-changing. 1 Corinthians 13, one of the most beloved chapters in all of Scripture, all of literature, begins like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let's think about that a moment. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. This letter is to the Corinthians. Corinth is in Greece, okay? The Greeks prized the spoken word. Their orators received public acclaim because of how well they spoke. Remember the legendary Demosthenes, who's said to have... Demosthenes was a great orator. He's said to have put pebbles in his mouth and speak with pebbles so that he could enunciate every syllable that people might understand. That's how much oratory meant to him. 400 years before Paul, a man named Aristotle wrote a book called Rhetoric. I majored in speech communication at the University of Minnesota. They still taught Aristotle's rhetoric at the university, and they do across the land the same thing. Greeks held up speaking, public speaking, very highly in their life. They valued eloquent speech as highly as anything else. And so Paul begins by saying, it's wonderful to be a fine speaker. to speak in the tongues of men and of angels, or in our NIV language, to speak in the tongues of, what does it say there? Of humans or something. They make it proper English in the NIV, so you don't, it's not all men. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, noisy gong, clanging cymbal. In Paul's day, people were familiar with the monotonous sounds of gongs or cymbals clanging, because every time they went to their pagan temples, they would crash these cymbals or bang the gongs, because they thought that it awakened their gods to listen to their prayers. So Paul is saying that it's all right if you're a fine speaker or a teacher or a fine preacher, but your fine words are as futile as a striking gong or a clanging cymbal to waken a pagan idol if you're not committed to a life of love. I can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong. He continues, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. This is radical. This is extreme. Paul's saying that love is even more important than faith. If I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. I mean, this is, when Paul's writing this, this is revolutionary language to these people. This is how important love was to Paul. Think about those people in our society who call themselves follower of Jesus, but they hate Muslims, or they hate Jews, or they hate Indians, or they even hate other Christians who don't think and act like they do. And they do it in the name of Jesus. This is amazing. Could it be that these Christians who hate people of other faiths and other nationalities, they're more apt to appear in hell than the very people that they seem to despise? That could be true if you thought that love was more important than faith. I was telling this to one of my pastor friends this week, and they said, Jim, you've gone too far. You're going way too far with this. I said, it's not me. This is Paul speaking here. It's St. Paul. If you're not convinced, look at how he ends the chapter. And now, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is more important than faith. How you live is at least as important as what you believe. That's what Paul is telling us. It's a good thing we're saved by grace, because our faith isn't going to do it. Our good works aren't going to do it. We're saved by God's extreme love for you and for me. A love that God wants us to pass on to others. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand here. Faith is important. It's really important. You know, it's essential. You're not going to love as Jesus loved if Christ doesn't live in our hearts. Faith is important, and so is hope. But Paul says that love is even more important than faith or hope. And he's not finished. He says, if you give it all to the poor, if you give all you possess to the poor, I mean, you can give your money to charity or stand on the streets handing out money to homeless people and do it with an unloving spirit. I guess you can. I've heard stories like that. Remember the guy who gave all this money for a big building to Augsburg College? And then he wrote racist letters, unsigned. This was, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. He also gave a church camp to the Northwest Minnesota Synod of the Lutheran Church. Then they find out later that this guy is the racist and writing these dirty letters to people that offend people. If I give all I have possessed to the poor, but have not love, I'm nothing. Many of us remember the King James Version about giving my body to be burned. If I give my body to be burned but have not love, I'm nothing. We remember the Vietnam stories where some of the Buddhist monks would pour gasoline on their bodies and set themselves on fire. It's still happening today. Over 100
priests in Mongolia set themselves on fire just in the last year. You mean you can be seized with that kind of religious extremism and it'll profit you nothing if you don't have love? That's what Paul's saying. It's not going to make a difference if you don't have love in your hearts. Let me say it again so that no one can misunderstand. You can be more Christian than Christ himself, but if you're not committed to a life of love, you miss the whole message of the gospel. Of course, St. Paul is only expounding on the teachings of Jesus. It was Jesus who first said that the great commandment was love, to love God and to love one's neighbor. Do you remember? Religious Jews in the first century were committed to keeping more than 600 commandments, 600 laws. And Jesus summarized all the duties of the law by saying this: a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's found in the 13th chapter of John. I hope you heard that, huh? That's how the world will know that you love Jesus. Not by how many Bible verses you can quote. Not by your perfect attendance in worship. Not by giving $1 million to the church. Although that would help. Try that one, why don't you? I mean, there are all kinds of wonderful acts of devotion, but none of them matter if you don't have love in your hearts. If you're not active in love, sharing love, caring love. That's to say that love is the central task of the Christian. That's what Paul is telling us today. If this is how people will know that we are followers of Jesus, isn't that what we should be doing every hour of every day, showing love to all of God's children? Bill Wilson pastors an inner city church in New York City. His mission field is a very violent place. He's been stabbed twice himself just doing ministry to the people surrounding the church in his community. Once a Puerto Rican woman became involved in the church, became a new Christian, was led to Christ. And after her conversion, she came to Pastor Wilson and asked, "I want to do something to help in the church's ministry. What can I do?" He asked her, "Well, what are your gifts and talents?" And she said, "I don't know, and I barely speak English." In fact, she didn't hardly speak a word of English, but she did love children. So Pastor Wilson said, "I'd like you to ride the bus." They had a church bus that would pick up kids on Sunday morning and then deliver them Sunday afternoon, after Sunday school and a meal and some time together. And so every week, this gal, Puerto Rican gal, performed her duty. And when she got on the bus, she would find the worst-looking little boy or girl on the bus and have that little boy or girl sit on her lap, and she would tell this little boy, "I love you. Jesus loves you." And after several months, she became attached to one little boy, and that every Sunday, that boy sat on her lap, but he didn't speak. He came to Sunday school every week with his sister and sat on the woman's lap, but he never made a sound. Each week she would tell him all the way to church and all the way back home, "Jesus loves you and I love you." The only words she basically knew, this Puerto Rican woman. Well, one day to her amazement, this little boy turned around and stammered, I love you too." And then he put his arms around her and gave her a big hug. That was about 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, he was found dead. His own mother had beaten him to death and thrown his body in the trash. "I love you, and Jesus loves you." Those were some of the last words this little boy heard in his short little life. The reason he heard them was because of an immigrant woman from Puerto Rico who was committed to love people in Jesus' name. But here's what we need to remember. When she held that boy on her lap and whispered, "I love you, Jesus loved you," she was fulfilling the law and the prophets. She was obeying what Jesus said. When she held that little child in her arms and whispered those words, her witness was more authentic than all of those who strut their piety around and claim to be righteous. Love is the central task of a Christian, you see. That is to say that the love Jesus wants to place in people's lives is proactive. It's something that has to be lived. It seeks out people who need loving. It's not something we just give with our lips. It's something we do. Authentic love isn't passive. Authentic love always looks for people who need loving. Now Paul closes up this chapter with these words. Let me read it again that Mary did. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It's not proud. Doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For now we know in part, and prophecy we know in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I will know in full. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Yeah. One last story. A pastor friend of mine gives a wonderful way of grasping what Paul is saying about love. Suppose you have 1 million and it's multiplied by 1,000. Then you get 1 billion. And if you multiply 1 billion by 1,000, you get 1 trillion. And the next is a quadrillion. The next is quintillion. And he says, let's forget it. Let's pretend we're little kids. The biggest number in the world. Biggest number in the world. And if it's multiplied by zero, what do you have? Zero. God's saying that life without love is zero. Life without love is zero. You can pile up all the good deeds. You can have all the best education. You can have all the spiritual gifts. You can do all the noble works there are to do in the world. But if you do them without love, it still equals zero. You can be smart and beautiful and strong and wealthy and educated. You can be the best athlete on the field this afternoon. You can be multilingual. You can be educated. You can be rich. You can be famous. You can have all of that stuff. But without love, it still equals zero. In other words, you can be more Christian than Christ himself. But if you're not committed to a life of love, you miss the entire message of the gospel. That's what Paul is telling us this morning. Huh? Of course, the greatest example is the self-giving love of the cross of Christ, the Christ who gave himself for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave us his Son for the expiation of sins. But not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We love because he first loved us. How will people know that we are followers of Jesus? By our love. And now these three remain. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
The congregation, please rise. Let us join in our offering prayer at the top of page 4. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. Prepare us now for the feast of the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Called by the Holy Spirit into relationship with a loving God, we pray for the church, all in need, and the whole creation. Take a moment for silent prayer. In you, O God, your church takes refuge. Protect those throughout the world who worship you despite the threat of persecution and death. Lord, in your mercy, let your whole creation praise you, O God. Restore the earth to the goodness that you created, and that we too often take for granted. Lord, in your mercy, rescue those who call upon you, O God. Call the leaders of the world's nations to be just and merciful and to walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort the grieving, O God. Provide for the homeless and the unemployed, and give healing to those ill or in pain. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Bob Vorlachek, Ron Hass, Dean Newman, Arlene Westerland, Edith Lingle. We remember those who are fighting addictions, those who are fighting other health problems, those who need your healing touch. Help us to put our trust in you in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Call us, O God, to be a fortress for your people. Inspire this congregation to act against injustice and speak out against wickedness. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings. We especially thank you for loving us and caring for us and promising us your presence and your power. We pray, O Lord, for our families, for our spouses, for our kids and grandkids, for our parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters. We pray, O Lord, that one day we might all be one, of one accord in our love for you and for each other. Sustain us, O God, until we gather with all your saints from every time and place in your eternal protection. Lord, in your mercy. Into your loving hands, gracious God, we place ourselves and all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again as the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
So we gather at God's holy table, where Jesus took his last supper. It was a supper of freedom. He took bread, gave it to all to eat, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will celebrate using intinction, dipping the bread into the wine or the grape juice. The table is set. Come, eat and drink.
Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his precious blood, strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's turn to the prayer after communion on the bottom of page 5. Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 798. Ha ha ha.